Sunday, August 17th, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. The Epistle from the First Letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 2 through 11. Brethren, you know that when you were heathens, you went to dumb idols, according as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, saith anathema to Jesus, and no man can say, the Lord Jesus, but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of graces, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God who works in all. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man unto profit. To one indeed by the Spirit is given the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another the grace of healing in one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another interpretation of speeches. But all these things one and the same Spirit works, dividing to everyone according as he will. Haydock Commentary. In the Apostles' time, the Christians in the sacraments of baptism and confirmation many times received those graces and gifts of the Holy Ghost by which some of them prophesied, others wrought miracles and cured diseases, others spoke in tongues and different languages. Now some among the Corinthians made not a right use of these gifts, especially they who had the gift of tongues, and made use of it through vanity rather than for the profit of others. He reminds the Gentiles of their conversion, to put them in mind how much happier they are by receiving the faith of Christ and such graces and favors from God. He tells them if they see a person moved in an extraordinary manner and say anathema, curse, or speak ill of Jesus, such a one cannot be moved by a good spirit. And no man can say the Lord Jesus, that is, praise Christ as he ought, but by a good spirit. There are diversities of graces, but all from the same Spirit, from the same Lord, from the same God, and all these gifts are designed and to be made use of for the profit of the faithful. St. Justin Martyr, St. Irenaeus, and Origen bear testimony that these special gifts of the Holy Ghost were not unusual in their time. St. Paul, in order to curb the vanity of such as seemed to be a little puffed up with the gifts they had received, and likewise to comfort those who had received no such spiritual and extraordinary favors, wishes to teach both parties that the same Holy Spirit distributes these graces according as they are more conducive to the welfare of His Church and the glory of God. The Gospel from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves as just and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee, standing, prayed thus with himself, O God, I give thee thanks that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, as also is this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes toward heaven, but struck his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say to you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone that exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Haydock Commentary. In this chapter we have three examples of prayer, one of the persevering widow, another of the poor publican who solicits the divine mercy by the acknowledgement of his crimes, and the third of the proud Pharisee, who only goes to the temple to pronounce his own panegyric and enter upon an accusation of his humble neighbor whose heart is unknown to him. The Pharisee standing, that is, standing by himself, separated from the rest, or some understand this term standing as if in opposition to kneeling or prostrating, which they suppose to be the general posture in which the Jews offered up their prayers and that of the humble publican. The Christians borrowed this practice from them. We see the apostles and disciples praying on their knees in Acts chapter 7 verse 59, chapter 9 verse 40, chapter 20 verse 36. In the Old Testament we see the same observed in 1 Kings 8:54, Daniel 6:10, and Micah 6:6. There are four ways by which men are guilty of pride. First, by thinking they have any good from themselves. Second, by thinking that though they have received it from above, it was given them as due to their own merits. Third, by boasting of the good they do not possess. and fourthly, by desiring to be thought the only persons that possess the good qualities of which they thus pride themselves. The pride of the Pharisee seems to have consisted in attributing to himself alone the qualities of which he boasted. So says St. Gregory. He who is guilty of speaking publicly against his neighbor is likewise the cause of much damage to himself and others. First, he injures the hearer, because if he be a sinner, he rejoices to find an accomplice. If he be just, he is tempted to vanity, seeing himself exempt from the crimes with which others are charged. Second, he injures the church by exposing it to be insulted for the defects of its members. Third, he causes the name of God to be blasphemed. For as God is glorified by our good actions, so is he dishonored by sin. Fourth, he renders himself guilty by disclosing that which it was his duty not to have mentioned. So says St. John Chrysostom. St. Gregory says, "See how the Pharisee here, by pride, lays open to the enemy his heart, which he had in vain shut against him by fasting and prayer. It is in vain to defend a city if you leave the enemy a single passage by which he may enter in." If anyone should ask why the Pharisee is here condemned for speaking some few words in his own commendation, and why the like sentence was not passed on Job, who praised himself much more, the difference is evident. The former praised himself without any necessity, merely with an intention of indulging his vanity and extolling himself over the poor publican, while the latter, being overwhelmed with misery and upbraided by his friends, as if forsaken of God he suffered his present distress in punishment of his crimes, justifies himself by recounting his virtues for the greater glory of God, and to preserve himself and others in the steady practice of virtue under similar temptations. So says Theophylactus.